Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
What happens if the windows of blessing come full open and God's pouring like a flood? Wouldn't that be fun? Let's check it out. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Some people believe that this is Ethiopia, an extensive kingdom in northeast Africa at this time, but most modern scholarship sort of points not to the African continent, but a little bit further down the Red Sea, the southeastern portion of the Arabian Peninsula, what is today occupied by Yemen. Well, if it is Yemen, you know that's 1,400 miles from Jerusalem. And if you're on a camel, somebody did the math, they figure that's going to be about 2.5 months. The queen of this region, she says, well, I'm going to go check it out by myself. Verse 2. So she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, which is a great big convoy, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon, verse 3, answered all of her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, it took him 7.5 years with hundreds of thousands of employees to build the temple. How long did it take to build his house? Do you remember? Twice as long. 14 years. This house is stunning. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the food on his table and the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, the cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. This means she watched him worship God. There was no more spirit in her. That's an interesting word. In Hebrew, that's ruach, or pneuma in the New Testament equivalent of Greek. She had no spirit. What does that mean? I don't really know. Yes, of course, she was overwhelmed, but I submit to you there's a little more going on. Let's check it out. Because of Solomon's humility and love for God, remember, Israel, because of Solomon, was being richly, richly blessed. You're going to see some staggering descriptions of this wealth. God is getting the glory even through the Queen of Sheba, and though through obedience the nation was being blessed. Here is another kingdom principle. Remember, 1 and 2 Kings we've subtitled Kingdom of God Revealed. And I want to let you know something about the kingdom. When God is moving and blessing and people are going, way to go, God, does the enemy ever leave that unchallenged? Never does. And I submit to you, watch this. Watch for a pattern. Solomon was at the zenith of power economically, spiritually. He evidently had a walk with the Lord such that even the Queen of Sheba says, look at that man worship, if you will. Now watch the pattern, verse 6. And then she said to the king, dude, It was a true report which I heard in my own land, 1,400 miles away, about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of it was not told me. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I have heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. What does the Bible say about flattery? Empty flattery is maybe a little bit different of a ball game, in that somebody is trying to butter you up. Pastor Chuck Swindoll said for years, be careful when someone's patting you on the back, because they really want you to cough something up. She's obviously impressed. I don't think these are vain flatteries, although she was a high political official, to be sure. And as you know, the whole fertilizer quotient goes up when politicians typically get around one another. Don't forget that she had no spirit. Let's look. Wow, dude, you are awesome. Verse 9. Blessed be the Lord your God, not her God, your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Yes, she is overwhelmed, and now she's given the king a huge series of compliments. She's no doubt impressed. I don't know if her motives, political or economic. Let's keep reading verse 10. Then, she's not done, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices in great quantity and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Oh, well, I thank you, he might have said. Verse 11. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood. It must have been very, very precious, because here in a minute, King Solomon is going to use this wood as the steps that ascend to his throne. So this amazing, super cool, precious wood and precious stones from Ophir, verse 12. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for the singers. So it was such a fine wood, it was made into musical instruments. And there never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon, verse 13, gave the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, beside what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And I wrote in my Bible, wow! Did Solomon ever impress his colleague? You know what I mean by colleague? She's a fellow head of state. He was top dog among all the known kings in the region. Verse 14, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Anybody blink there? What's the number? 666. There's only two places in the Bible where this number is mentioned. Here, in Revelation 13, what was the number of the name of the Antichrist? 666. Now remember, 6 is the number of man, because what day of the week was man created on? The sixth day. 3, by the way, is God's number of redemption. Moses, by the way, the redeemer of Israel in the physical sense, he had an older brother and older sister, which made him what? 3rd. You remember multiples of 7, that's God's number of completion. But when there are multiples of 3, that has to do with redemption. If you look at the measurements of the Holy of Holies, 10 by 10 by 10, that's a ratio of 3. 3 is God's number of redemption. Jesus rose on what day? It goes on and on and on. If 3 is the number of redemption, 6 is the number of man, it's kind of interesting man three times in Revelation 13 is kind of pointing to the Antichrist, the human, now of course inhabited by the devil himself, is claiming everyone's salvation and redemption. Therein lies the blasphemy even of the number of his name. Six man, six man, six man, man, three times man redeems. It's a blasphemy even there. Only one can redeem, our Lord Jesus Christ. But why is it true of Solomon? 666 talents of gold. Do you know that that's 25 tons? Verse 15, and besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of the traders, and from how many of the kings of Arabia? All of the kings of Arabia. And from the governors of the country. Yeah, I know that it's 25 tons. But whenever the Bible tells you a detail like this, it's usually there for a significant reason. I believe here in 1 Kings chapter 10, I believe that this is also a pun. And the Holy Spirit puts lots of little one of these in the scriptures. Listen to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy, of course, is a reiteration of the law of Moses given on Mount Sinai. Not only are there the 613 do's and don'ts, collectively known as the law, given to Moses for the people, the book of Deuteronomy, God says to Moses, hey, Mo, run over all that stuff one more time. Because remember, the old generation that had heard it at Mount Sinai, they'd all passed away. And now the new folks are going on. And listen to this, Deuteronomy 17, verse 17. The king, if you have a king, Israel, the king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. So if you're king, do not increase your cars, as it were, or your horses. And whatever you do, don't get them from Egypt. Because Egypt is a model of what, everybody? Of the world. So don't do that. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. And this king must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray, and he must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. What's Solomon doing here? What am I supposed to do about it? They bring the gold to me. Every year, 666. I think if we have our Jesus glasses on, we started out this chapter by Solomon being really at the height, right smack in the pocket, as it were, of the Lord and his passion and love. And God was blessing the nation exactly as he said. But here came the blessing. Here came the Queen of Sheba. Dude, you're so awesome. Did I tell you were awesome? You're even more awesomer than that. Awesome, 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 awesome. He said, stop it. No, really, I can't. So she pours in all the stuff. He gives her all kinds of stuff. And they wave away to each other. See you later, Queen of Sheba. They're colleagues. He was top dog among all the colleagues. I'm doing really well. In fact, so much so, I'm getting 25 tons of gold every year. What did God's word say to kings about gold? Careful. And especially horses. And don't get horses from Egypt. Chapter 11 and following, we're going to see the outward sin of the backsliding of King Solomon. You know where sin actually and truly starts? In our heart. Listen to the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Jesus said, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth and goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth, oh, they come from your heart. And these make a man unclean. The scribes and Pharisees were giving them a hard time because they were eating things that weren't cleansed in a certain way. And they're all, oh, you're not dancing the religious dance. And they're eating things that are unclean. And Jesus says, it's not what goes into the guy that makes him unclean. The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart, evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false testimony and slander, these are what make a man unclean. Next week, we're going to see Solomon take a severe turn to the south. He's not going to do well. That's the outward stuff. When do you suppose that it started? I'm not going to hang that all on the Queen of Sheba, but with our Jesus glasses on, I think I see a pattern. When God blesses because of your obedience, because of your sacrificial praise and time, talent, resource, whatever, and you're serving Him, just like God says, the blessings do start rolling in. Kingdom principle. Does Satan ever leave those things unchallenged? Can he challenge you in a time of prosperity as well? And I personally believe, as a model, here come the Queen of Sheba, one of his contemporaries, one of his co-workers, as it were. And she's all, hey, Solomon, looking good. You know the cool things I heard about you? That's only the half. Let me give you all kinds of props. And I wonder if something in Solomon went, yeah. Not bad, huh? Oh, be careful. Be careful. Remember when Jesus sent out the 70 and they came back and Jesus goes, how'd it go, fellas? And they're always amazing. Even the demons obeyed us. This is awesome. Ministry is so cool. And Jesus said, careful, boys, careful. I was there when I saw Satan fall. Marvel not that the demons obey you, or that marvelous things happen in ministry, and that the miraculous is a constant companion of your walk with me. Marvel instead that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How did Satan fall? Do you remember what it was? In his where? Heart, he began to say, I really am stunning. The Bible says so. He's perfect in beauty. He's the blueprint. You remember the old adage, baby, you so fine. I'd look into the dictionary and it's beautiful, and there's your picture. It could literally be said of Lucifer. He's the blueprint of beauty. And there is some speculation because Ezekiel tells us built into his body were literal musical instruments. And some have speculated he was the worship leader. I'm not so sure it's quite broke down like that in heaven. But it is certain that Lucifer held a very high place. And at some point when all his worship is flowing around, a part of him inside went clank. Why does he get all the worship and praise? Look at me. And somehow in Lucifer's mind, evidently, it was, if there's any good thing, beautiful thing, wise, desirable thing, who put it there, brothers and sisters? Our Lord did. And that's the thing about why God perhaps doesn't move through us like sometimes we ask Him to. Lord, if I could lay hands on the sick, or Lord this, or Lord that, Lord please, and God would love to do it, but He loves you so much that He's maybe saying, you don't have a strong enough foundation. And like Solomon, if I were to open the gates and do the things I want to do with you before you're ready, the devil's going to be close behind, modeled by the Queen of Sheba. Dude, you're awesome. Look at you. Go, Steve. Go, Steve. It's your birthday. You're awesome. And that's the thing about humans. If we hear that long enough, you know what? We'll go, you're right. Powerful lesson for us. Next week, we're going to see Solomon go down hard. And I personally believe it begins with the words from the Queen of Sheba, probably inspired and certainly energized and tickling the fallen nature that resides within us all. How good you're doing. It's easy to know that you need God when you're like the lady with the issue. And you just grab the hem, the Lord's garment, and you just hold on. We're all familiar with that position. Today I want to let you know that when your miracle comes, and when your gates of blessing are opened wide, please remember tonight's study. Because the enemy will never let any good and powerful work of the Lord go unchallenged. Verse 16. Watch his next project, by the way. How to go with the Queen of Sheba, boss? Went well. Woo! She is impressed. Oh, that's good, boss, because you're quite impressive. Why, thank you. Verse 16. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. You guys, what are shields for in battle? They extinguish the fiery darts, if you will. Shields are designed to be instruments of warfare. Would you agree with me? Look what these shields that he's making. He made 200 large shields. And watch this. Of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold. Six is the number of man. And went into each. That's 7.5 pounds. 7.5 pounds of gold went on top of every one of them. Verse 17. And they also made 300 shields of hammered gold. They're going to be a little bit smaller, but he's going to put 3 minas of gold, about 3.5 pounds, went into each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Do you remember what the forest of Lebanon was? 1 Kings 7 verse 2. The forest of Lebanon, remember when he was getting all those huge big trees from his buddy, the king of Tyre, those beautiful cedars of Lebanon, and they were very pricey and they were huge. And you remember he put about a jillion of them in his own house. And when you would go through his own house, not the temple, but his own house, you'd be all, wow, look at this. It's like a forest in here. That's his own house. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon, his huge house that took him twice as long to build as the temple. Where does he put these awesome, dazzling, and impressive shields? In his house. These aren't battle shields. You don't polish gold to a high luster and sheen so that you can see your affliction like a mirror. You don't put that so that you could bang them up in a battle. These shields are for show. They're not for go. These shields, you guys, they're not for warfare. They're to show off how powerful and how rich he is. He's polishing and preparing the wrong weaponry. Starting next week, chapter 11, he's going down hard. And it's not going to be because of Philistines or Canaanites. He's preparing and polishing the wrong shield. Solomon's weaponry is purely for looks, not for the actual kind of battle that's going to get him. Verse 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. Ivory is pretty precious in and of itself, as you know. And he overlaid that with pure gold. What a throne. Verse 19, the throne had how many steps, you guys? 6. Interesting. Another pun of the Holy Spirit. David, when he recognized that he was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant in the wrong manner, remember, he put it on a new cart. That's what the tech of the day said to do. That's how the Philistines moved their high priority items around. The guy tried to steady the Ark, put his hand on it, and he died.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.